Sense of place. Look, a rather different one, turning the idea a little bit on its head. And a confession, I chose the music for this one. Gang of Four is the band. At home, he feels like a tourist. And look, that's an interesting idea. When was the last time that you took in really closely the detail of the things that surround you? Look, when did you look hard at things that are otherwise familiar? Try it now, right now. What's right in front of you right now? Look a little bit closer. Goodness sake, what is that? The detail of the everyday familiar is a thing which has captivated Julie Shields. She's a visual artist. She teaches around art and public space, has a new book out called Waiting. Julie, welcome.
Why, thank you, Jonathan.
Now, tell us about this waiting and what you saw when you were.
Well, my interest as an artist is always about looking at everyday things and sort of bringing them to the fore in a new and fresh way. And several years ago, I was sitting on the tram getting extremely bored, but trying to suppress my desire to pick up my mobile phone and fiddle with it. So I thought I'd do what I encourage myself to do and the artists that I work with is just to look around at the micro details in public space. So the first one was on a tram, and I was taken by how amazing the moulded plastic is on a tram.
Nice.
And how sort of almost seductive. I mean, I know that sounds completely crazy because sitting on a tram for too long, you just want to get off, but they're very soft, gentle spaces, and when the light dapples across it, they're very elegant
things. There's beauty in this ordinariness.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing you mentioned there too is that idea of us being sort of restless and perhaps almost not being prepared to be bored in that sort of a situation either. We have to fill this moment with some sort of occupation, some sort of distraction.
And our mobile phone gives that to us. Mm. And I suppose what I think occurs as a result of that is that we just don't, we no longer take into account what's in our immediate lives as such, but also it's constantly seeking the new and the fresh on of a new image and a new image, a new bit of music and so on. But in actual fact, the contemplation of just looking for something that you've never noticed before will provide that, experience.
If that is the sort of the human instinct, is to look around for that newness, it's there in the place that surrounds us. It's there in the things that are all about us all the time.
Indeed. And it's the visual, but it's also the smells, the sounds. And then by focusing in on all of that, then you start sort of feeling, you know, the temperature and so on. Having said all of that, my interest is the optical,
yes,
obviously, the visual. And but it means that travelling from A to B is way more interesting. And but me, I get bored really easily. So
where did you go after moulded plastic in the tram? What other things caught your eye?
Well, the next one was sitting looking at the back of my aeroplane seat on the way to New York, and I just go crackers sitting still, and I just thought, I really need to look around and just see what's here, and so I got out my mobile phone and started photographing the plane. And you know, so there's one work that's called Waiting to Fall Asleep, and it's the side of the plane because I was sort of looking up at it and just wishing I could fall asleep. Another one's called Waiting for My Lunch and so on. And they're actually quite interesting visually, which was a surprise to me because I just thought I was, overreaching, I suppose, in my excitement about
distraction. Well, that's an interesting thing. There you are. Your eyes are tuned to this sort of idea. You're full of this sort of micro sense of place, this sense of place in the everyday, and yet it even surprises you just how much interesting and enjoyable detail there was there to be found.
Well, precisely. So I started, I think I probably had about 10 images that I thought were quite good, and my the publisher that's M33, who published my work before, asked me if I wanted to do another book. And I said, well, I've got this thing here. And I showed Helen Freeman, who is the publisher, and she said, terrific. Now I want more. And I honestly thought I couldn't get anything more out of a tram, to be quite honest. But it kept on delivering. And consequently, what it means is that when people look at the work, they know it's familiar.
Mm.
They absolutely know it's familiar. It really niggles them. And it's a bit like a guessing game as well. And oddly enough, the back of the aeroplane seat, so many people have said,
what is that?
What is that?
That's your tray table, which is now in the upright position.
And they're actually quite kind of cheeky looking things, tray tables. Yes. I mean, I know I'm characterising these things in a kind of, you know, vaguely sexual way. But, if you do look at the book, many people have commented how much things look like skin or body parts and so on. So the world of objects come to life. And
Julie Shields' new book is called Waiting. That's what we're picking through, images of the extraordinary detail in the day-to-day. And, Julie, that takes us to this sort of broader idea of we're used to this when we go away. When we go to a strange place, we are all eyes and we are taking everything in and we are fascinated with what we see. And we come home, we seem to turn that set of responses off and we just put on the blinkers and trudge through our days.
And look down on your mobile phone screen.
So how do we become tourists at home?
Well, my prescription, I suppose, or my encouragement is that any time, certainly for myself, I feel bored, where I'm going to reach for it and fiddle with it and flick through Instagram or whatever, I look around and try and see if there's something that I've never noticed before. And so I suppose that's my, you know, what I do. I look for things that I've never noticed before. And interestingly enough, when other people do it, they'll come up with something completely different. And that's what's so exciting about it.
What do you get then from that sense of more active engagement in place? What does that bring you?
Well, I think it brings you back into your body and yourself and your head. And I think that, you know, daydreaming is an important part of our creative selves that gets lost when you're constantly being occupied with somebody else's productions on the phone.
We solve our problems in the unoccupied mind, don't we?
Without doubt. Without doubt. And without boredom and without those moments of nothing, you know, even if you're not trying to solve a problem, then it doesn't give the brain the opportunity to do that.
Mm.
But the other thing I think it probably can give us is an awareness of, you know, what place is and what it might mean to us and how we attach memories to place and so on. So, for example, in the book, like the titles are called Waiting for My Lunch. I mentioned that before. Waiting for Peter to Buy the Milk. That's my husband. Waiting for the dogs to sniff. Is that, like, for me, they could be photographs of the people. So they're like little memory capsules. They're cues for memory. So, you know, within that book, that's sort of like my private travel log.
Mm.
So one doesn't necessarily need to be instrumental in the way you store memories.
So it's a way,
in a visual way.
It's taking a note, isn't it? It's jotting something down for yourself, which then evokes a whole other set of responses and reactions and memories.
Indeed. And I think that also, from my point of view, it gives me a sense of the kind of industrial, technological place that we now exist in, that, you know, over the last 20 or 30 years, public spaces have homogenised and there isn't a lot of difference between, say, you know, KL Airport and Melbourne Airport at first glance. However, with that kind of, and it can be quite alienating as well, you know, that those big, you know, it's hyper-modernity.
And yet there's something sort of human in what it is from that homogenised environment that you specifically as an individual take out of that. That then reduces it to a very personal and human scale.
I think so. And I think that it helps, you know, if you're more attuned to your environment, then it helps overcome, you know, alienation, you know, that without doubt the Global Project has created a level of depersonalization. And so it just basically means you just have to search into the fine grain of environment.
How clever of you to work all this out.
I mean, having said that, it makes me sound like, you know, here's the solution. I mean, places, the world's still, you know, really tough to live in, but it's just a little bit of a respite. It's a bit like Smell the Roses, been in a kind of slightly bent, wacky
Well, it has a sort way. Of a sort of a mindfulness aspect, I guess, to put it into the modern jargon.
Is yes.
that sense of being aware of your here and now?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Not we're going to get too hippie-ish about it.
No, please don't go there. I wouldn't have mentioned mindfulness, but it most certainly is part of, just not to lose your sense of self in a place and in a world that can make us just feel like we're things with technology and just consuming all the time. You're making your own pictures.
So sniff the roses and take in the detail. It's the
That's right. Yes, Julie, that's exactly it.
Julie, thank you. And look, a lovely book. The publisher's name?
M33.
And it's a bold, squarish thing in yellow and blue. You'll see it. Waiting by Julie Shields is written on the front. And you'll find that in shops. And in that you will see Julie's notes of life. Julie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan.
This is Blueprint for Living here on RN.